Kaboom!
Hey, what's going on, folks? Ty here, Bench Clear Media. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. So we got a lot coming up. A lot coming up because we're going to be at the industry summit here in a couple days. So we're going to be putting out a lot of content for you. So looking forward to that this weekend. But hey, I wanted to cover a topic that I think is extremely important. And it's important because the one thing that you can't get back is your time. Your time is something you have to protect. You have to optimize it. You have to make sure that you're not just wasting it. In the hobby, it's really easy to do that, whether it's digging, you know, for hours on eBay looking for stuff or not having good processes in place if you're a seller or a buyer for that matter. But I'm going to probably err more on the side for sellers today, some things that I've learned from 15 years of doing this, some things that I think you absolutely have to do to make the most of your time in the hobby. So before I do that though, go check out the Card Hedge. The link is in the show notes or right up here on the side. Go check out the Card Hedge because if you are like me, you like to understand the analytics behind things. You like to track things and it's becoming harder and harder to do that. There are some tools out there. I become a huge fan of Card Hedge and you can, it's super cheap. It's like 15 bucks a month. You can check it out for a week if you click the link. We have a program with them. We have a deal with them. So you can use it for a week. Check it out. There's 20,000 plus cards for you to track. And that's a great way to understand prices, especially as a seller. You want to be on top of prices, okay? All right, so five things that you have to do. Number five. You got to learn to sort cards efficiently. If you are a seller and you are not optimizing the way you sort cards, it is a huge loss for you because you can fall behind really quickly and you can lose a whole heck of a lot of time if you don't sort efficiently. Now, everyone has their own system. If you talk to guys that have been doing this for, you know, decades, guys like Brent and Becca, they have like legitimate systems in place to make sure that they don't waste time. You don't have to be that super complicated. You can have a very simple system, but I encourage you, if you open a lot of cards, don't waste the time that you're opening cards. Sort cards as you're opening, sort them into subsets, sort them into hundreds, sort them into tens, whatever, however, you know, in depth you want to get with your sorting initially, but don't create a bunch of stacks because what it does is it creates a psychological barrier for you knowing that you have to sort all those. If you can start kind of like knocking it out, early on, it helps tremendously. Number two, you got to use a tray. Like if you're sorting enough cards, like go buy a sorting tray. It will change the way you sort. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. You can click it and buy it on Amazon. Super easy to get. They're very reasonable, but it's a very worthy $20 investment. Grab a couple of them. Because as you start to put sets together, as you start to sort into players, you're going to want a system and you need a tray to really make sure that your piles and stuff aren't getting out of hand. In addition, you need to sort after you list. A lot of times what will happen is if you're like me, you list them, and then you end up having stacks of cards that maybe were listed. What I realized years ago is important to sort after you list. And I just get a 3,200 row, you know, count box. I write on the left side, you know, cards listed. I have another row that says to be listed, scanned. And then the next one's to be listed, not scanned. And then the right one's maybes, ones that I'm considering listing. Maybe cards that, maybe the condition's not good enough, or maybe the players aren't good enough, whatever it may be. So don't neglect sorting your cards before, during, and after you list. Extremely important. Number four, set up templates in a listing system. Like you have to have a good system in place because what'll happen is you'll fall into the trap of not having a good nomenclature, not listing your titles the same way, not having good descriptions. If you use something like InkFrog, I'll put the link in the show notes for InkFrog, which it's a platform that I think is outstanding. You can go create a template on InkFrog, and you can really quickly create a listing, duplicate it, create the next one, duplicate it, create the next one. You can fly through your listings, use your template, all the settings are in place, the style looks good, and you don't have to stress about a way to handle that each and every time. So put in the time up front so you don't have to continue to waste time in the middle of listings. So, and again, I can't emphasize this enough, like have a good title structure that you want to stick to and use it for all your listings. Don't neglect that. Like have it in place and replicate that, whether it's for different sports, whether it's for different sets, but have a good naming system, replicate it, and you'll be able to fly through stuff and not waste time when it comes to listing stuff. Number three, big one here. Don't skimp on shipping. This is something I learned years ago, and it's very easy to think that whether it's on supplies or if it's buying the right label, there's no excuse for that, because on the back end, you're gonna get bit if you don't just invest the resources and the time to ship the right way. Like shipping is the most important piece of your transaction, because so much can go wrong during it. Now, there's some very easy things that you can do. Number one, get free USPS supplies. You're gonna ship priority, I promise. Whether it's for an expensive card, whether it's for sets or boxes, whatever it may be, you're gonna want to ship priority because it's the best way to ship. And if you ship priority, you get boxes made for you for free. So go to USPS. I'll put the link in the show notes for that too, where you can get free supplies mailed to you. You don't have to worry about it. And get the correct shipping supplies. Like it's very easy to just think that I got it laying around and I can find a way to ship this, and you end up, using like newspaper, which is not bad, I guess, using like plastic from your bread, or like I've seen so many things where it's like, what are you throwing your toothpaste lids in here as shipping supplies for? This is ridiculous. Just go buy the stuff. Go to Amazon. I'll put links for all the stuff that I use, all my labels. I'll put the sizes in the show notes too for you, for blaster boxes, for mega boxes. When I'm shipping singles cards, I like to put them in triple zero envelopes inside of another envelope. I mean, I get it. It costs me another 20 or 30 cents for the envelope, but instead of worrying about that card and having an issue, I pay the extra 20 or 30 cents and I do it right. And I rarely have shipping issues. Now, this goes without saying. I guess I'm saying it, so it's not going without saying. Put your card in the top loader and put it inside of a team bag. Like if you tape the top loader, you're going to ask for a disaster. You just are. So please don't do that. Put it inside of a team bag. I get it. They're hard to find, whatever. Buy them in bulk, which brings up a good point. If you want to do this economically, just buy things in bulk. It's so easy to do. I'm putting the links for you in the show notes so you can find the right places on Amazon to do it. But you also, you can go to UShip or Uline. I guess it's Uline. Go to Uline. For crying out loud, you can go to Home Depot and you can get a lot of this stuff. Rolls of paper are super smart to buy. You can do that on Amazon. You can do that on Home Depot. At Home Depot, and you can cut that stuff in half. You can crinkle it up and use it as packing material, and you don't have to use your extra toilet paper or toothpaste lids as packing material. So do it right with shipping. Now, the other point I want to make about shipping is if you're shipping more than 100 transactions a year, go sign up for Shipping Easy. I'll put the link for that in the show. I'm putting everything in the show notes. Gosh darn it, I want to make this super easy for you. Shipping Easy is outstanding. I've used it for probably 5 years, shipped thousands and thousands of things with it. It automates everything. The worst thing is when you have 10 things to ship, you got to go through manually. And I guess there's kind of a bulk shipping on eBay, but you go through and you ship something and you're printing off things manually, and you got to go through and figure out the manifest and the USPS scan form. It's just a mess. Shipping Easy makes things so easy. It integrates perfectly with eBay as a transaction's completed, post it over on Shipping Easy. When you come in, you see your orders, you can real quickly automate all your shipping on that page. It makes things super easy. Use the USPS scan form and you're good to go. If you are shipping more than 10 things at once, for crying out loud, print off a scan form for USPS. It makes life easier for the USPS shipping agent, and it makes life a heck of a lot easier for you. They scan one thing and all of your items are automatically entered in as received. And you know what? Your buyers will like it too. Number two, thermal label printers are the biggest game changer you'll ever have when it comes to the processes of shipping. And again, back to this, the first point, like time is the most important thing you want to protect. When I got a thermal label printer, and I was told, gosh, 5 years ago to get it, I got it probably 3 years ago, you're going to save hundreds of dollars first off, because you're not going to buy all the ink. And if you don't know what it's thermal, right? So it's not actually using ink. It's basically like heat transplanting on top of a sticker label that you get to rip off and stick on your item, and you never ever have to use ink. It's $20 for 500 labels, 4x6s. I use the Rollo thermal printer. I'll put the link in the show notes for that too. It has been a rock star, never broken down. It's extremely easy to use. I can't stress this enough. Get yourself a thermal printer. If you do 50 a year, I can guarantee you over the course of a year or two, you'll make your money back. But if you do hundreds of transactions a year, like it's going to, the return on investment for you is going to be a no-brainer. So please, for the love, click the link and go buy yourself a thermal printer. It's absolutely worth the time and the money to use that, okay? So that's number two. Number one, the number one most important thing to protect your time and to optimize your time is don't sweat the small issues. It is so easy, especially on eBay, to get caught up on the small stuff, the little things like people writing and complaining about your prices, or people asking for constant discounts, or can you do this for me? Can you combine shipping? Like, get your processes in place, put it in your terms and conditions, and don't deal with that stuff. And sweating the small stuff is really important. Not sweating the small stuff is really important after you ship something and you have little tiny issues. You're gonna have issues. Like we have all done this long enough, you're gonna have issues. If it's less than $50, just don't deal with it. Like, refund the transaction or offer to take care of it really quickly and move on. It'll behoove you to just do it that way. Like, you'll please everyone in the end. You have to humble yourself a little bit, but I promise you it's well worth it. It's a philosophy that I've been using for the last few years, and it's transformed the way I run my business on eBay, because I don't stress over it. Like, it's very easy to get your pride caught up in this stuff, and you don't want that to happen. You just don't. It's like, there's no room for it. Like, your time is too important. Like, your mind capacity is too important. Like, don't give it away to some ridiculous buyer who's going to complain no matter what you do. Just whatever. Take your money back. Send the product back. Whatever, right? I'll give you your money back. I don't care. I'd rather go spend my time on something a little bit more valuable. So that would be my number one thing to do to protect your time. I guess one other quick tip would be, and it kind of goes along all these points, don't cut corners. Like, if you try to cut a corner, whether it's saying something's gem mint or mint, or trying to avoid talking about condition, or maybe not explaining something all the way, it will come back to bite you. And the time that it would have taken to just not cut a corner would have been well worth it on the front end. And plus, you're just going to improve your chances of getting a positive, you know, feedback, a positive overall transaction. Just do the right thing. Like, I get it. Sometimes it's just annoying. You don't want to put in the time, or you think, you know what, I might get a few bucks less because I have to be really honest about this. Trust me, like, your honesty and like not cutting a corner will pay you so many more dividends on the back end that it'll be well worth it to do it that way. So there's five things for you that I've learned the hard way. And I want you to be successful in your business and do things that don't suck your time away. Like, I none of us wants to lose time. You got to protect your time. Your time is what allows you to continue to make money, to do things, to go strategize, to invest in yourself. And if you're giving it away on piddly, stupid little things, like, you're not going to be able to grow yourself or your business. So there's five things for you. Hope that helps. Have yourself an awesome Wednesday. See ya.